Welcome to B9 with B10. I'm your host, Gabe Carey, along with a wide variety of people today, and new people, Victoria Long, Morgan Hench, Patrick Toorfi, and Bill Thomas. And we're all going to talk about the games we plan on purchasing for the rest of the year in 2014. So who wants to start? Who is excited to talk about the death of their wallets this year?
Or lack thereof.
Can I just sell the wallet itself, pay for all of this?
Yes, I'm just going to trade in my wallet at GameStop for 10% credit.
They should send my paycheck straight
here. Wallet, I'll get 11 cents for it.
Yep. I might just...
Oh, why? Is no one really going for us? Like, come on, you guys.
Okay. How about this? Civilization Beyond Earth.
When does that come out?
October? Okay. Something.
Alright, is that the only one you're looking forward to?
That's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Okay.
October 24th, yeah.
Okay. Because I created a whole list of things that just is making me really depressed. Because I don't have enough money to get any of these games, so...
Well, I mean, you always have, like, your left leg.
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
yeah. Oh.
Killing me.
And I have enough to get the games, kind of. But it's the consoles I need to get the games that's killing me here.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Like, I need to replace my 3DS for Smash Brothers and Pokemon, and I need to get a Wii U for Hyrule Warriors and to Smash Bros.
Yeah. I just need to get a new 3DS next year, but that's a long time from now.
Damn, I forgot there's a new 3DS. I need to get
that. Oh, yeah, there is, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm gonna probably trade in my nipple chew, or maybe I'll just keep it.
Wow. Okay, I guess I'll go next.
That is the unofficial. That is the unofficial term that is what my 3DS is called.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, that's what you meant.
I
thought it was a really bad joke. Okay.
No, it's not a bad joke. It literally has nipple cameras on it, like Pikachu nipples.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's like a website devoted to that after, anyways, so.
No, I think Nintendo came up with it.
Even better.
It was Miyamoto. It was just a sick joke.
But, I said I was going to go next. For me, other than the annoyingly long list of games I still wish I could get, the two major games I'm definitely interested in getting, well, one above all else, especially if I might scrape together the money, is Call of Duty Advanced Warfare in November. Then, in some magical universe where I have tons of money, Destiny. And yeah. If I can be bothered...
Victoria.
This is kind of like...
Sorry.
I don't know why she's laughing, actually, but anyway.
She bought the game.
Oh, okay, well, that's cool. But, yeah, if I can be bothered, because it's a long story as to why I might or may not be bothered, Persona 4 Ultimax, because I found out that's coming out in the UK in November. So if I care enough, I'll probably get that as well. If not, I'll get it later down the line when it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's mainly it. But I literally, the majority of games are interested in getting...
What is Persona 4 Ultimax?
Persona 4... oh, no, I should have said Persona 4 Arena Ultimax is actually...
Oh, Arena.
Sequel. To Persona 4 Arena, sorry, I should have said
I
that.
I thought
yeah.
it was going to be like another... I thought it was going to be like
no,
4 Golden Definitive Edition on the
PS4. No, it's not. It's just, it's the sequel to the fighting game. Do you know what the full title is, by the way, Gabe?
No.
Because the Japanese title is actually Persona 4, the Ultimax Ultra Suplex Hold. I'm not joking.
That's better than what I was going to guess.
That's the full
yeah.
name. When I first
actually,
heard that
I
name,
don't want
like,
check it now.
When
yeah,
I heard the first, when the first name. Heard that, I was just like, "What are they smoking? Who came up with this?"
Persona 4 Golden Redux Definitive Edition.
But no, it's funny because
Game
well,
of the
to,
Year
to
edition.
Be fair, to be fair though, some Japanese names are actually quite long. The original Persona 4 Arena wasn't actually called Persona 4 Arena; it was actually called Persona 4 the Ultimate in Mayonaka Arena, which means the Ultimate in Midnight Arena, right?
Yeah.
So for the American localization, they just said P4A because that sounds better. And same with Ultimax. It was Ultimax Ultra Suplex Hold, and they said, let's just call it Arena Ultimax so people don't get confused.
I wish they would have
like
kept
five
it.
5 seconds
like,
there.
Oh.
Sorry. for like 5 seconds there, I could have sworn you said Persona 4 Mayu Naka Edition.
No, I said the ultimate Mayu Naka. You know, as in, not Mayu
Naka. One Mayu Naka, two Mayu Naka.
I'm just holding out for Dancing All Night.
I hope God.
I hope they put it to the Kinect.
Listen, when I saw that game on the stream, like the Persona 5 reveal stream, I thought I was being trolled because like everybody there was waiting for people Persona 5.
Yeah.
And then they just kept announcing this random Persona 3, Persona 4 crap, and then that happened. Everyone's like, "Are you kidding me? Is this happening?"
Yeah, I was expecting Persona 5 Vita, but that might
not
happen.
And Persona 5's coming to PS3 and PS4, which is pretty cool, I think.
That is cool.
But no 360 or Xbox One.
Or PC. Damn.
I wonder if it's because Xbox doesn't sell in Japan.
So I know
Xbox barely sells here.
But here's
the
thing.
They only sell like 3,000 or something like that. Like,
here's the thing though. So why would it's funny because it's just very selective because you know Ultimax, right? It's not coming out on Xbox in Japan, but Ultimax is coming out on Xbox everywhere else, right? Yeah. Same with Final Fantasy Type Zero. I know it's not by Atlus. I'm just listing out Japanese games.
Final Fantasy Type Zero.
Versus 13 is going to be Xbox One. Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be Xbox One.
I mean, 15.
I think about it. What?
Versus 13 is 15 now.
Oh, yeah. Derp, I meant to say 15. Yeah. So, like, a lot of the big Japanese games, as it were, are all coming to Xbox One. It's only really Atlus and Arc System Works developed games. And by that, I mean. Like,
did you say Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, I think I did somewhere
the
in that.
Xbox players are going to be so confused.
Is Kingdom Hearts coming on the Master Race platform?
That presumes that none of us have played it, because we have. A lot of people who got 360 had PS2s, so we actually have played through the Kingdom Hearts Legacy.
But the people who have only owned Xbox.
No, of course.
The loyalists.
They won't know.
Yeah,
especially if you don't have a PS3, because you would have never had the HD edition. That's another thing.
I hope they port those to Xbox One at some point.
I do. I really
do. They could just put it on Xbox, couldn't they? Like, it's just, like, downloadable titles?
They could, but... Oh, wow, that is a loud...
What happened?
Mic's going up again.
My mic is?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, and it's going down. Like, it kind of, like, has, like, peak, kind of like the hill here.
I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, as I said, I don't particularly understand how they choose what... I don't know what gets made for Xbox and what doesn't. As I was about to say, like, Arc System Works games, as in, it's the Arc System Works, they develop, like, fighting games, predominantly anime-style fighting games, such as BlazBlue and Guilty Gear. The new BlazBlue is, BlazBlue used to be for 360 and PS3, but the newest one was PS3 only, across the entire world, which annoyed me to no end. Guilty Gear, one of the biggest fighting game series in the world, that's only going to be PS3 and PS4, which I feel like that's fine, because I know the fan base is mainly on PS3, but I feel like that's going to hurt a lot of people. Like, a lot of people who really want to get into the next evolution of a Guilty Gear, they're going to be shut out. And I think that's a shame, especially because this is such a big game. And then, randomly, Persona 4 Ultimax, that's for both consoles, but then Persona 5 isn't. It's like, why would you make the spin-off fighting game for both consoles but not the main game? I just don't understand the reasoning.
I don't know. It's just, at least there's D4.
Yeah, I guess. D4,
it's something special. It's a hell of a game. So, Victoria, why did you laugh when Patrick mentioned Destiny? I want to hear your insight on what you're thinking about Destiny after buying it.
Okay.
I haven't played the full retail version. I only played the beta. I was just kind of underwhelmed, so I didn't end up buying it.
Okay, where should I start? First off, I feel like I should say that I probably wouldn't have believed most of the reviews anyway, even if I was one of those people to hang back and wait, you know? Like, I have to play these things for myself, and then I can until the end of time. So everyone else from B10, like Nathaniel, who was like, I told you so, you should have listened.
That it's bad or whatever.
It wouldn't have mattered. I generally like to play things first before.
And I assume you think it's bad then?
I don't think it's
It's definitely fun to play, and I don't want to start saying things like it doesn't meet the hype, because I don't know how you quantify something like hype.
It's a complex mathematical equation.
It's very, very basic. It's definitely not this. It has a lot of room to grow, but it doesn't even seem to satisfy. It's not very satisfying. I guess that's the way I'll put it.
But let me ask you: do you feel like it's not satisfying because of your expectations or because of the game itself?
Because of the game itself. Because of the game itself.
I can accept that.
It starts out. With the advertising. I mean, I read a lot of the development diaries in the months, preceding the release. I had a lot more fun reading the thoughts that went in, the thoughts from the minds of the people who went in, who put blood, sweat, and tears into this game than I had with, the game itself, which is, it's kind of really sad, because you can see how much they enjoyed the work they were doing, how much they really, believed in this project. But at the end of the day, the campaign itself is very, very poor. The gameplay itself is it's very repetitive. You go to a location, your sidekick companion robot basically says, "All right, we've got to go here, let's go." He opens a door for about 8 or 10 minutes,
and then horde mode happens.
And then all the while, you're probably asking yourself why.
You know what's funny? I saw this coming a mile away, mainly because of the beta, and mainly because I saw it coming. Like, I know that sounds really weird, but I'm one of those people who I'm not. Okay, obviously, I don't have the game yet. But even when I got the game, I knew 100% what to expect from that game. And that's kind of why I'm not really blown away by how slightly above average it is, because I feel like I knew what type of game it was going to be from the very beginning. That's why I don't really feel that let down, because it's like I could tell this wasn't going to be the kind of game that the experience itself. I know this sounds really stupid, but the experience itself isn't even the fun part. It's supposed to be what you do with it. I know that sounds retarded, right? I know that sounds absolutely retarded, but unfortunately, I kind of saw that coming from the beginning. So I can understand why people think it's subpar and the campaign sucks and it's repetitive. And I agree. Trust me, I actually agree.
I mean, for my part, when it came to, because I played both the alpha and the beta, I kept thinking, all right, this is just a small section of the game. This is just a small strike. This is just go here, kill everything mission. I can accept that. I was hoping, I kept thinking there's going to be more to it. We're only seeing the alpha. We're only seeing the beta. They're only testing things out. Yeah. But overall, I mean, that is the whole game. The single player campaign is really just a tutorial for the multiplayer. The story is, I can't see it most of the time. There's essentially no characters in this game. There's no, it's like there's a house that's been built, but no one is living in it. They made this beautiful looking universe and kept talking about, this is the last city on Earth, and there's so many other alien forces that are trying to, wipe humanity and the Exo and the Awoken off the face of the galaxy. But I can't see any of this because they took all of the Grimoire Codex entries and they locked them out of the game. You can't.
Yeah, you have to look them up online.
Games.
Yeah, and for our listeners, you have to look them up online. Wait. It's not actually like a Codex reader, Grimoire reader in the game. You have to actually go online to look it up.
Why would they do that?
Well, I've seen it happen before.
It's ridiculous because there's some I eventually did go look up some of them. They're so beautiful, I wanted to weep, but they're just gone. It's like they locked all of them in a box and threw them to the bottom of a cliff. Like, when you do this with other games like Mass Effect or Dragon Age, you still have characters and people talking about things, and then you go, for additional info, go check out the Codex on the Citadel, to talk about this, but this is, it's so wrong. It boggles the mind why they,
I should ask, have any of you guys, it's the perfect review of this whole thing?
Wait, what?
Yeah, you just cut out there.
Oh, I said, have any of you guys seen the IGN review? Because I feel like that perfectly explained
what I didn't quite...
everybody kind of thinks about Destiny.
I've been watching a friend play it for a while, and I haven't actually been playing it myself, but like I understand what's going on and everything. And from what I've seen, I agree more with the Polygon review than I do with the IGN.
I did not read the Polygon review, and I never will for very obvious reasons that I'm not going to get into. But the IGN review is... fair enough. Can you give me a general gist of what the Polygon review said, like in a few words?
They said pretty much everything that the IGN review went over, except they gave it a lower score. Thought the IGN review kind of... the 7.8 means it's almost great. Like it's a very good game.
It's 7.8 is like above average because it has high production values, but it doesn't quite get there. I mean, basically, do you know a way to explain IGN reviews, or at least reviews that are like sort of 10 out of 10, is it's very weird because it's kind of like it gets bottlenecked at some point. It's easier to hit the higher numbers. It's just getting to the 8, 9, and 10, it becomes harder. So any game can really get away with like a 6 or a 7. Once you hit a 6 or a 7, right, by being a subpar, basic, enjoyable experience, it's functional, good graphics, and no glitches, then you're going to need to have the icing on the cake to get the 8. Then you're going to need to have the narrative to get the 9. Then you're going to have to even more than that to get the 10, basically. So it's I think that's why they give it a 7.8. Because to me, a 7.8 is, this game is above average, it's fun, good graphics, functional, loads of modes, blah, 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 doesn't quite get things right, kind of confused. You know, all that kind of stuff. That's why I think that 7.8 rating is fine for me.
It just seems like a very vanilla game to me. That's all. It just feels generic.
I suppose, but you have to reckon with the fact that their score is very standardized. If they start giving it something like a 6 or less than that, then they're ignoring the rest of the game that does things well. Basically. And your mic's going nuts again, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about it.
I mean, I won't say that it doesn't do certain things well, but I still feel like a 6 is about where it should be, because while like the multiplayer is great and everything feels everything definitely works, I feel like there's just not enough there's not enough multiplayer modes, there's not enough large open spaces. Whenever you're playing, for instance, with the single player campaign, there's the enemies mostly respawn in exactly the same areas except for the ones that are dropped off via airship. So you know where everybody's, where everybody's housed for the most part. It's just
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I realize I haven't actually said all that much lately. From a technical standpoint, it sounds like it's not bad, but once you get past the fact that it's pretty and it had a lot of hype, it's just another game.
Well, I mean, but that's enough for some people, though. Like, people don't need to give a game like a 4 just because
there are a lot
the game doesn't have, like, ooh, my God, best story I've ever read or whatever. You know, some people don't really need that.
Yeah, but from my experience, and I'd like to think I've played a game or two, the game needs to be fun. If you're having fun, you're just staring at a pretty screen.
No, obviously. And I think that I was going to mention with what is it Victoria? Is what she said? Yeah, with what she said, is like when we start talking about quality based on numbers, that's when things get a bit complicated. I just think that we shouldn't get too bogged down by the numbers, because at the end of the day, all a review like IGN's review means is that this game has a basic standard of quality, but it doesn't quite hit those high notes to be earning the 8s, the 9s, and the 10s. It's not them saying that this game is better than a game that has a decent story that might get a lower score for other reasons. It just means that this game has so much going for it, it could have just been so much better. And I think that's a fair assessment. I feel like it doesn't need to mean anything more than we've looked at all the pieces and it's missing a few parts.
Some outlets are still giving it high reviews or review scores, and that's because some people are really loving this game and others aren't. It's just mixed. I think some of the people that are reviewing it were expecting more Halo, and more of what Bungie has shown in the past, and what they got wasn't quite that. It was kind of something different for a different audience, but the masses are playing it instead because of the marketing.
Hmm. I would say that there was a release of a new, I guess they're calling it a raid, called the Vault of Glass this last week.
People are so hyped for that.
People are hyped about it, but I mean, I've watched several people go through the Vault of Glass, and a lot of the problems that have been seen throughout the whole game so far are still evident in the Vault of Glass. And
so, what are the raids? Because, like, I'm not a... I don't never even like read anything about Destiny. So what are the raids even like? Are they like traditional MMO raids? Like there's some trash and then there's like complicated boss battle?
Something like that.
That's how they advertised it. And considering it's like, so it's one of your first post game big things to do, pretty much. I believe you have to be level 25 or 26 to attempt it. And it's supposed to be, you know, something that'll keep you satisfied until they release later content. And from what I saw from the reviews of it and a couple walkthroughs of it, it's not going to keep your interest for very long. Because one of the major problems with the game overall was that you're basically holding a point while your robot's opening a door or figuring or stealing some information or whatever while you're fighting off hordes. Hordes of enemy. It's going for numbers over any sort of strategic sort of battle. And while there's a few more elements added, like there's a jumping section, there's you know, things like that. There's like teleportation in some aspects of the Vault of Glass. Overall, it doesn't change that format. There's still just the battle is one of almost like endurance or boredom over fighting off so many smaller enemies than any sort of actual challenge.
That sounds terrible.
I think I agree. And once again, this is still conjecture based on the person who's only watched a ton of gameplay, played the beta, and obviously doesn't have the full game. And quite frankly, I agree that that is both boring and lazy. But the thing that I noticed from playing the beta, the thing that I've noticed from those who are enjoying the game, is, as I said, the issue with Destiny is that it's doing this funny thing that very few games manage to pull off actually well, in the sense that half of, perhaps more than half of the experience of the game isn't coming from the game itself. It's coming from what people get out of the game, what they experience with their friends and stuff like that. I know you can't really market a game that way. That sounds really stupid. The game, the core content of the game is supposed to be good. You're not supposed to say, oh, what you got out of it is fun. No, what the game should be is fun. However, I can see why that's working, because so many games that advertise that crap about, oh, it's the experience you make yourself that's important, so many games that do that fail, right? Because the core gameplay itself, right, either isn't there or the production isn't there. But the thing is, Destiny has that production. It has the options. It has the breadth to it. What it doesn't have is the detail. It doesn't have the precision, right? But by having that basic level of quality to allow people to have experiences that are open-ended, I think that's created a situation where people can just play the game, have fun with friends, joke around, and do all that stuff. And I can see why that's working. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... Unfortunately, the game could have been deeper, and I don't know why it wasn't. That does bother me personally, as someone who's looking
that's
to buy the
big,
game.
That's a big problem, because, look, we didn't have, like, EA with their boot on their neck. You know, it's not like there was a time crunch. It's not like there was
really
a money
right now,
crunch. So what caused it? And speaking of the, you know, your enjoyment of the game being, you know, the experience you have, you know, with your friends, there's a lot of options in this game that are severely lacking when it comes to, there's no private matches, there's no, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that's just missing, and I don't know if it's missing because they want to add it in later or because they're off doing something else, but it's disturbing how much is lacking from this.
I mean, I think
Destiny is lacking. News
and the thing
11.
Is, I heard this partly from Angry Joe's review, and I can see, and I agree. Actually, not Angry Joe's review. Apparently, Angry Joe's review, and partly IGN's review, in that the game is trying to do a lot of things. It's trying to mishmash so many different things together. It's trying to appeal to several different audiences, and it's doing it in a way that's cohesive. But by being cohesive, it can't focus on one thing. You know, Jack of all trades, master of none. It's trying to basically cover so many bases that what it's doing is not focusing on one thing to be anything in particular. Because if it did, and let's be honest with ourselves, if it did, it would just be criticized as being a generic whatever, a generic shooter, a generic MMO, a generic RPG. You see what
it's
I mean?
It's all of those things.
If it... Give me a second. If it did any one of those things in particular, it would just get criticized for that, right? Who hasn't played an MMO? Who hasn't played a sci-fi shooter, right? Who hasn't played a multiplayer game? All of these games, all these genres in isolation are treated in such a dissonant way that they were trying to think of a way to bring it together and create a unique experience, a fun one. That's why I don't necessarily fault them for doing it. And I feel like somewhere down the line, that ambition got the best of them because they were so focused on trying to fit this big, massive idea into the size of, you know, a game disc. And they just didn't really translate well, you know? I think that's what I see with Destiny, that it was an ambitious game where they thought so much into the future, they didn't really think about, well, how can we make the first experience that all the players have a worthwhile one? I mean, I don't know. I get what you're saying.
I mean, I look forward to seeing what they do with, like, the next game, because what have they've got like a 10-year plan.
With
the series.
Oh, Lord.
I definitely like to see what they do with, you know, coming up, because hopefully they'll learn from all this. But I mean, most of the time I still can't tell you, and I've just played like for the last week, I still can't tell you what my character, if you can call them that, was doing. I can't. They kept going on about this big, you know, this big, beautiful world to explore, but I can't interact with anybody in it. You can't talk with anyone at the tower. You can't.
Wait.
Your only interaction with other people is buying things from them, and you can't talk to any of the there's a couple different factions.
Yo.
On at the tower, and yeah. There's this one guy with a funny hat. I forget his name. I think he's like the new Monarch Order. Yo. Or something like that.
Okay, who keeps saying yo?
It's me. It's Gabe.
What's up?
We have a new challenger.
Hi. Challenger?
Hi.
This is my friend Daryl.
I'm Daryl.
He's also my wife.
Yeah.
Okay,
two-timing
nice
slut.
To meet you. Nice to meet you. Anyway.
But we should get back on topic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking
of new challenger.
We're talking about Destiny. Yeah, speaking of new challenger, I'm assuming Morgan is buying Smash Brothers for...
I'm probably going to be camping out front of the game. Actually, I know I am. Me and some buddies are going to go down for the midnight release.
Oh, for Smash.
The coffee.
Yeah, for Smash.
Nice.
Are you gonna get smashed?
Oh hell yeah!
Gabe,
I'm going to play it.
Not. Are you gonna listen to Smash Mouth?
No, just don't. Don't even bring that up.
I'm going to listen to Smash Mouth while smashing actual pumpkins while playing Super Smash Brothers.
Actually, Morgan, can I ask you something?
Damn, that sounds like a smashing good time.
Oh my god.
No, yeah, Morgan, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the fact that the Wii U version of Smash won't have any single player content? Because that bothered me a lot, actually.
Does anybody actually play Smash Brothers by themselves?
Yes.
I play it all the time by myself.
I don't have friends.
I don't mean versus. I'm talking about, you know that both Smash 64 and Melee had excellent single players. They had amazing adventure modes. They were fantastic. Even Brawl's adventure mode was pretty decent. That's the thing.
Yeah, they even had Subspace Emissary.
Yeah, Subspace Emissary. Like, it was simple, it was functional. I had boss
actually
bosses. It was
the
fun.
Entire thing with a buddy of mine, and that actually turned out to be more fun than I thought it would.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So what possessed Sakurai to not give the Wii U version one? I don't understand. I'm not talking about cutscenes or a story. I'm just talking about just a fun adventure mode where you, like, hit the targets or something.
From my understanding, a majority of it comes from the fact that he doesn't want the Wii U experience to be too terribly different, so people who can't afford a Wii U can still experience everything.
Oh.
What just happened?
Your mic exploded.
It's like some chicken rice dish.
Your mom.
Excellent.
I don't know what to do about that.
Help you get a new mic. That's what I can recommend.
Yeah, this one's $200.
Are you serious?
Mine's a 50-cent Rock Band mic that I found in a bin in Goodwill.
Wait, it was from 50 Cent?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, 50 cents mic?
Yeah, that's and it works
valuable.
Just fine.
Oh my god.
Anyway, back to what Morgan. But I hope. No, I mean, okay, fair enough. I can sort of get that, but it's just with me personally. While I do think that the focus of Smash 4 should be making the characters, the balance, and the stages as exciting as possible, which it looks like it is so far, I'm just slightly concerned as to why they haven't given, you know, the star treatment to the really fun single players that the game has had since 64. I just find that very unfortunate.
Oh, I agree, and it definitely seems like most of us will be picking up the Wii U version just so we don't have to carry our 3DSs around to play this.
Yeah, I mean,
from my understanding, there isn't a whole lot of reason to actually buy both besides the fact that we're all going to do it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Gabe, can I point out that we can hear your conversation?
And damn it!
Oh, damn it.
But no, you're right. You're right, Morgan, that I think other than the fact that if you want to play the game early, because a lot of people are doing that right now. They're playing the Japanese 3DS version. But obviously everyone's waiting.
I thought about doing it, but I'm not that insane yet.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's waiting out for the Wii U version. It's just, personally, it's not like I'm getting a Wii U, but if I did have one and I was getting Smash, I'd be a little bit concerned that I don't get to play a single player of some sort. I don't know, it's unfortunate, you know? I don't know. That's just me personally.
Just holding out for the Wii.
Yeah, I feel like it's a matter of one game for the price of two. No one will be there's not going to be any real difference between either one of them, and I'm only really buying both because I'm a diehard fan.
Actually, wait a minute. You know the 3DS version does have a single player, kind of.
Yeah, I toyed around on the demo and looked around at this and that, but I want to pass judgment on that when it finally comes out, rather than speculate on what it will be.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I've also been trying my hardest to avoid spoiling a majority of what's going to happen, because there's still that kid-like interest of, oh my god, I just unlocked this, I didn't even know that was here.
I'm sure there's going to be
a lot. That I had back in Melee, back like when I first unlocked Ganondorf in Melee, I was like, oh my god, he's in this!
I think, I remember there was conversation about this, like on N4G and IGN and stuff, but I think, to be honest with you, even though a lot has been spoiled for Smash, like I feel like for Smash, there's a lot to find, I feel like, because Nintendo is good at one thing, and that's fan service. They know how to put things in a game that if you're very meticulous, you'll notice and you'd be like, oh, that's cool. Or, oh, there's this trophy. Or, oh, there's this thing in the background. You know what I mean? Like, it's the legacy of the game that's really going to bring out the best in fans. And I think, yeah, sure, we know what all the characters are. But to be fair, with most fighting games, you find out all the characters before the game comes out anyway. What you're really going to be excited by is the subtlety when you play the game. And, like, for example, you might be playing a character in a match. The character does a special move and it does a weird property. Everyone's like, oh, my God. Or, you know, we've discovered some new tech or something. I feel like that's what really...
Nintendogs and hentai.
I see what you did there, and no. I don't know, and you know what? Gabe, your mic's going nuts again.
What? Oh, damn it.
I feel like it happens when you type.
You tried unplugging it and plugging it back in?
No, it happens when I type?
Yeah, I think that's what happens. Every time you type, that's when it happens.
I'll stop typing and see if it fixes things.
Because I've noticed in the past, like I hear typing when that noise starts.
Hmm.
I don't know, it's weird.
It's signaling Gabe's destruction.
I was about to talk about the game I really want to buy this season, but I guess no one else cares, so...
It's Call of Duty.
Yeah,
what game?
Yeah, no, Advanced Warfare.
Oh.
But I know none of you guys talk about it, so...
I mean, if someone gave it to me, I would play it, but I'm not going to actively go out of my way to purchase it.
That's a very aloof way of explaining something, especially to somebody who cares about it. Thanks a lot.
See, like, my problem is that, like, I'm just Call of Duty'd out. Like, I was Call of Duty'd out after the second Modern Warfare game.
See, that's another aloof explanation. You're not making it any better.
That's fine. I'm not here to assuage you, yeah. Dan.
I mean, problem is, I just plain don't feel like capping online.
And I need it.
No, I mean, jokes aside, I know I get it. I know. I'm that person who plays those games like COD and LOL that everyone gets mad about, so whatever.
Well, that's fine.
I like
play whatever
Call
you want.
Duty. I just don't like getting online.
Well, that like, is half the game, you know, to be fair. So.
Exactly, and that's why I don't play them all that often. Like, I've had just me and my buddies run around on offline deathmatch having fun and crap like that, and I found that enjoyable. I didn't find that $60 enjoyable.
Yeah.
Well, and that's like one mode out of like four modes in Call of Duty game, so that's part of your problem right there.
Well, I play random modes on it, but I try to stay offline. Just well, one, as the fan base has learned, a majority of people who play Call of Duty are assholes.
Really?
Yeah, it's very true.
Really?
Not you.
Hey, you? No. Really?
I'm talking about the screaming. Oh, you dumb little shit!
No. I know you. I know you're not talking about me, but can we just be honest with ourselves unfair generalization.
Generalization, even yes.
Even saying majority, no.
See, the only reason I don't get Call of Duty is because I'm a recently
majority.
Converted Amish, and I cannot go on the internet.
I mean,
what are you doing right now, Gabe?
Look, all I'm trying to say, guys, right? I'm not trying to be hysterical about anything. All I'm just saying is saying something like the majority of whatever. For example, that's like me saying the majority of Minecrafters are screaming Let's Players. How fair is that to say? Of course they aren't. Some of them are, and an annoying amount of them are. But if you say the majority, I just offended every Minecraft player by saying that.
How about this? The way I look at it is the community sucks, just in general.
No, it doesn't! It does! Generalization. Look, yeah,
they exist for a reason.
Dude, some people in a community are bad, but don't say the community sucks.
Yeah, but the minority is the loudest.
Exactly.
But you said majority, though. You didn't say the vocal minority.
Look, I woke up half an hour ago. Be proud that I actually knew big words.
Look, as I said, I'm not here to get hysterical on anyone. It's just that like this happens a lot, and this is what I mean. Like when and
so what games is everyone else looking forward to?
Yeah. Thanks, Gabe.
Segway.
I'm gonna get the Pokemon remakes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Should I go through my little list, or does someone else want to go first?
I'll go.
You can go first,
or you can go. Ladies first.
Let's see. I've got two categories, pretty much. I've got games I'm going to get no matter what, and then things I'm just interested in. Obviously, first is the Pokemon remakes. Not much else to say about it, really. I mean, it's Pokemon. Everyone is going to, at some point, sooner or later, get these games. I hope they just bring back things like a lot of the good things from from the newest games. I hope they bring back some more character customization. I hope they what was it? Didn't the campaign for the last games feel short to anyone else? Like,
oh, extremely. Yeah. I was more or less done with the entire thing within the first week or two.
I feel like I had level 40 Pokemon by the third gym or the second gym, and there was
Think I actually did.
Yeah, and there was this huge gap between the first gym and the second one, and I felt like I missed it. Like, I'd somehow gone to a different town, and I was off, like, the plot rails or whatever. But
yeah, I had to check around on my map, like, did I miss something here? Am I about to go challenge, like, the seventh gym in the beginning of the game?
Yeah.
Like, I did that in Red and Blue.
All those years ago. Many, many moons ago.
Just off the
so
old
that
Game Boy.
That's Pokemon. Dragon Age Inquisition. I am very hopeful and very terrified about this game because, Dragon Age Origins and Awakening, the expansion, are like easily, I think, one of probably like they're in my top five. They're my favorite games. Dragon Age 2 was painful, but it wasn't as painful as Mass Effect 3.
Come on. Mass Effect 3 was fantastic. Come on. Like, okay, if you take out the ending...
I think she disagrees.
If you take out the ending, like, everything in that game was just wonderful.
I hope Jess isn't listening to this. He made Mass Effect with his bare hands.
They took out the annoying planet-scanning thing that was in Mass Effect 2. There was no, like, shopping trolley that you ride around. Come on, it was good.
On topic, we can you know take this outside and you know call up our second or whatever later.
Okay.
Much later.
I'm Russell.
See you at dawn.
Ready at dawn.
The things I'm have your seconds ready. The things I'm scared about. I mean, the things I'm hopeful about for Inquisition. You know, for the longest time, they kept saying, you know, they actually weren't saying anything about whether you'd be able to choose your own race. You know, whether you could be human or elf or Funari. Let's go for it. And you know, eventually they did say there is going to be. You know, you could choose your own race, which is something you could do in Dragon Age Origins that you couldn't do in Dragon Age 2 because they stuck you in the story of this regular human hawk. I know that a lot of people did not play as the dwarf, for instance, in Dragon Age Origins. I think they did a poll or something and they got like 3%. Like 3%
most
of people
played as the dwarf in Golden Axe. Does that count? Same thing. Principle's the same.
I mean,
there was swords, there was magic. I killed something.
There were
something.
Golden axes.
I mean, I guess the problem was they, you know, because Dragon Age 2 came out like I think like a year and a half or some really short amount of time after Dragon Age Origins, and they just wanted to streamline it. They just wanted to get this game out as quick as possible. But you know, you lose a lot when you streamline things down like that. Your choices in Dragon Age Origins actually mattered if you were an elf or you were the human or you were, you know, if you were a dwarf. You had a unique origin and characters actually reflected on that throughout the story. It wasn't just, hey, you're an elf or hey, you're a dwarf. You know, people actually treated you differently. You actually had access to different dialogue options depending on what race and what background you chose. It made a definite difference. And so I'm very glad to see that they brought that back for Dragon Age Inquisition. Additionally, I'm more hopeful because they took it to this other kingdom. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, Orle. And it's you know, again, it's a new place for a new start. Because in Dragon Age 2, it was set in the neighboring realm from the first game to Ferelden called Kirkwall. And it was a very small, sort of isolated kind of story. It was like, okay, mages and Templars are fighting and everyone sucks. And the most despicable thing about Dragon Age 2 was that it didn't choose a side. It didn't take a stand. It said both sides suck. And I guess that's a stance if you really want to put it that way. But it really was just, it felt like a cheap way to have, you know, to not make a decision. To not advance anything forward. And that's also what's a little bit of, you know, scares me about Inquisition, because it seems to be continuing that mages are evil, let's burn them all at the stake plotline from Dragon Age 2. And there are still a lot of other unresolved conflicts going on since Dragon Age 1. All the Darkspawn, all the evil enemies, they're not all dead. You find out some very disturbing things in Dragon Age Origins expansion Awakening that are still relevant in the world, and not just in Ferelden. It's relevant everywhere. And it's a little bit sad that they seem to just be, you know, at least pushing it aside, if not addressing it, for the whole let's redo the mages versus Templars conflict again. So I want to see better. I'm hoping they've learned. We don't need reused dungeons anymore. You know, you can't have depth just by saying 5 years later, 7 years later, 10 years later, like they did with Dragon Age 2. So overall, I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful. I'm so hopeful it hurts, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go on forever.
It's fine. But does Dragon Age Inquisition have cats?
Have cats?
Because you know what game does have cats? The next-gen version of Grand Theft Auto 5. And that's a game I'm
That's painful for me. Like, I was so happy when I read that announcement, and then I realized that I have to wait till January 27th to play it.
Oh, why?
Because I don't own any consoles. Yeah, I'm a PC gamer.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed by that news. Even though I don't play PC, like, the people who do. We're probably expecting the new gen version to come out the same day as the PC version.
It's actually funny. Like, I saw the headline for it, and I got, like, super pumped up. And then I read it, and I'm like, oh, damn it.
So, I have a long buy list, maybe buy list, and maybe later list. So I'm going to go through all of them, and I'm not going to talk about any of them in depth.
I should have done that.
My buy list is Forza Horizon 2, Sunset Overdrive, Grand Theft Auto 5, Pokemon Alpha Sapphire, Halo the Master Chief Collection, Minecraft Vita, Ori and the Blind Forest, and Journey for PS4. My maybe list is Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, Smash 3DS and Wii U, Hyrule Warriors, The Wolf Among Us for Xbox One, Tales from the Borderlands, and my maybe later list is Bayonetta 1 and 2 for the Wii U, Kingdom Hearts HD 2.5 Remix, Freedom Wars, Little Big Planet 3, Pokemon Omega Ruby, Assassin's Creed Unity, The Crew, Far Cry 4, the PlayStation TV, and Fantasia Music Evolved. So that's my list of long games that are killing my wallet right now.
Well, now I feel kind of bad for planning. I've only got like 5 games I intend to get within the year's end.
Yeah, well, you'll also have money.
and social life. I won't by the end of the year.
True.
Yeah. So most of those I probably won't end up getting, but those are the games I'm interested in.
See, I have a separate list for games I intend to actually get. And games I want to get, but I know I'm too poor to actually get them when they come out, so I'll just get them in, like, a month or two.
Yeah.
Like, I already mentioned I'm camping out for Smash Bros.
Maybe some of them will just review poorly, and I won't feel compelled to get them. That's a bad way to think.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I hate myself.
See, that's one of the concerns I have for Borderlands pre-sequel is, I want to get it. Mostly just to have a new Borderlands game to play, but I have no idea if this is going to suck or not.
I still haven't finished any of the Borderlands 2 DLC, so I don't really feel the need to get another Borderlands game.
I haven't even finished Borderlands 2.
I haven't either. I haven't either. It pains me. I don't finish anything. Didn't even finish high school.
God damn.
Wait,
but how are you here?
I don't know how I'm here. So, all of this, I'm most excited for Sunset Overdrive because I like crazy games that are just games and are just made to have fun. And the character customization seems cool. They have female assassins.
Yay!
Take that, Ubisoft.
Which is definitely what I'm playing as, just despite Ubisoft.
Yeah, I found that to be kind of bullshit. I mean, I guess I don't personally care. I wasn't going to play as a chick, but there are a lot of people that would.
But just have a better setup for it. If you don't want to, for whatever reason, just say, this is the story we had planned, this is the character we had for the players to experience it with, and have done with it. Don't just go, oh, but they're so hard to animate. And
okay, guys, so wait a minute.
God,
I was about to be quiet for the rest of this podcast concerning the whole Call of Duty thing, but I have to interject. Please tell me you know the reason, the real reason, why they're not playable female characters in Unity. Please tell me you know.
Focus testers?
I know you're going to tell us.
No, that because, like Watch Dogs, every character is just a palette swap of the main character Arno. It's like Legend of Zelda Four Sword. You're just appearing to your friends as a different colored assassin, but to yourself, you're still the blue assassin, the main character Arno. All they did was try and give the technological reason, however, that was bad PR. They should have just said, oh, the reason why there's no playable female characters is because this isn't a true co-op experience. This is an integrated single-player co-op experience. Everyone is just playing as the main character. That's what they should have said, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Because they thought people would accept the stupid technological explanation. They should have just given the PR response in the first place. That's the real reason, not because Ubisoft is bigoted or misogynist, whatever the crap people want to think. Okay, seriously. And let's not forget that they have a freaking female Templar as one of the main characters, and this is Ubisoft, one of the more inclusive people in the industry, so Jesus Christ, give this stupid crap about Ubisoft being misogynist or whatever arrest. Thank you. Continue.
Yeah, I wonder why they didn't have any female characters in Child of Light.
So I take it you will be pre-ordering it, Pat.
No, I don't have a next-gen console, so I won't. I'm just saying I'm tired of the misinformation, personally, and I'm tired of people callously, you know, dismissing Ubisoft all because they had bad PR, as if they're the first people to ever have bad PR about something.
I'm just tired in general.
Well, like, to be fair, Ubisoft makes so much money, they shouldn't have bad PR. They should be able to pay people enough to cover up their stuff for them.
They gave the general gaming public the benefit of the doubt to understand and gave Microsoft.
Oops.
That is so loud.
I swear, it sounds like crapping on a bus.
I can't even hear myself.
You caught me.
Quit trying to flee from us, game.
I just wanted to take a nap.
That's my excuse.
In all seriousness, I can understand that, yeah, Ubisoft should have been smarter than what they said. However, I honestly feel like they gave the general gaming public the benefit of the doubt to accept a technological explanation and a game industry explanation for why. However, they gave people too much credit, clearly, and had to give them a more straightforward reason, i.e., oh, well, it's like Watch Dogs. There you go.
Wait, you actually bought that their excuse that it was too hard?
No, it's not that I bought that it was too hard, but more like I could understand that, oh, well, this is a company that's working on a lot of games, on a lot of projects. They must have had their reasons. I did part of the inference because I pay attention to the industry, and I'm sure a lot of people do. So when they said that, oh, there's not going to be any playable female characters in co-op, I thought to myself, and they said, oh, because it would have been extra work, blah, blah, blah. I thought, why might that be? Looked at the trailer again. Oh, wait a minute. This reminds me of Watch Dogs. Every character is probably the main character. I guess they thought that if they're the main character, it would have cost, you know, extra to make a separate co-op where you get to play as female characters. So they thought, you know what? Let's just keep the budget the way it is and keep making the game the way it is. That's what I thought. I put two and two together. I didn't instantly assume, oh my god, Ubisoft's so sexist. They didn't put a girl in. That's not what I assumed first. I literally just thought to myself, Ubisoft probably had their reasons for it. They didn't just say, oh my god, coding girls is too hard. Let's not do it because sexism. Like, I just literally put some common sense on it, that's all. And I know how PR works in the industry, so I just didn't think that them saying that was any sign of stupidity, more so that they were just trying to give people a smart response. I don't know, that's just me. I'm not trying to sound like pompous or whatever, I just legitimately think that people overreacted to that, that's all.
Now, do you think they should have just gave the actual reason?
No, but as I said, they honestly gave people too much credit. I know that sounds like I'm calling gamers stupid.
Oh, yeah, they're Canadian.
They thought to themselves that they, you know, oh, people are smart. We can give them, you know, the real reason why we did it. We can give them the technological reason, right? Nope, of course not. Oh, we should have told them it was like Watch Dogs. They probably would have accepted that better. I mean, I would have made that mistake. I would have thought
people it was like Watch Dogs, no one would have bought it. Because everyone's still like really outraged.
Yeah, very
of the quality
funny.
Of Watch.
Well, I mean, it's like this double-edged thing. I mean, they could either like say something that sounds like a cop out, or like cripple their game sales.
Well, I mean, but do you honestly think they thought it was a cop out? As I said, do you really feel like Ubisoft, of all people, thought let's just shortchange our audience, treat them like idiots, and just tell them we can't do it because we're lazy? I don't think that's what the thought process was.
They are large corporations.
Honestly, I didn't think that they're like I wasn't like, it was just funny to me because you know, I think I'm a little bit more sensitive to issues like this because there aren't that many games where I can play as a female character. I mean, obviously there's like Tomb Raider, there's Bayonetta, but that's, you know, like things like that, but there's a lot of, you know, those are like exceptions, not the rule. And especially when it comes to like, you know, this series, when it comes to that, you know, they had that one character from the game that was female, the
Liberation.
And, you know, like it felt like an excuse. It didn't feel like they actually put like their effort into it. You know, this is just,
but can you see how, as a technological explanation, they weren't saying it's because they're women. They're saying, like any other game feature, they thought about putting it in, but they didn't have the time or budget. Can you see how that's a game industry explanation for something? It doesn't matter if it was female character, it could have been something else. It's like we couldn't put shadows in the game because of money, so we took shadows out. I don't know, like just interchange it with anything arbitrary, and then you'd be like, okay, that's a very lame excuse, but okay, you're the one making the game. I guess I can understand that you had budgeting issues or whatever.
They put out that that statement in response to the controversy that arose around it. So the fact that they like wrote it off as a technological limitation when it wasn't means it was a cop-out.
How do you know that? Do you work at Ubisoft? Do you know what they're going through? Do you know why they said that? That's what I don't understand. Like,
Bill,
a lot of us
is head of PR there.
I am.
This is an inside story. In all seriousness, right, I just feel that, yeah, I get it. With the whole thing with female characters, it's a sensitive topic, but I just feel that nobody should be overreacting that they said that this feature of a video game had to be considered in terms of budget, in terms of time, in terms of animation. They thought
talking about video
considering
games?
Yeah, obviously. And they said, considering the situation, considering how we're developing this game, while we wanted to do it, we thought, you know what, we can't, unfortunately. That doesn't mean they'll never do it again. That doesn't mean that there won't be DLC or whatever. That doesn't mean they're suddenly the most misogynistic company on earth and they like to give lame excuses. And I get why that would bother people. I truly get why that would bother people. But I just feel like that slippery slope way of thinking is not very fair. And sure, you can just say, oh, but Patrick, you're a guy. What do you know? Fair enough. Maybe if this is the other way around, I'd be a little bit concerned. However, I would still understand that this is a game company with a lot of, you know, massive projects that they're working on. Right? This isn't just one game they're working on. They're working on loads. So I just don't think that we should be giving
that
Ubisoft
studio
all people crap for
is
it.
Working on one game. It's not like Ubisoft is one studio. They have
multiple
studios.
I know you're right. I'm just, as I said, but as people who don't work there, I don't think we have a right to tell them what to do or think. And if they give a PR response that's bad, we can just say,
but we're
that was
on
a
the
stupid
internet.
PR response, do it again.
Well, I think the other reason why it bothers people so much, I think the reason, other reason in addition to just, you know, the whole, girls playing games, females in the gaming industry in general, is that most of the time, you know, you always see all these charts saying like, oh, like 80% of gamers are guys, or like 70, you know, most girls play Farmville or some, you know, some stupid thing like that. And it's just very not nice to hear that. Okay,
girls
don't matter, so why are we even going to waste time?
But the other half of that is that's
Victoria. Don't you have Harvest Moon to be playing?
No. I'm saying that's on the assumption,
hit me.
Right?
That's one of my childhood games, you bastard!
Hey, see here, I've got like six right, like 4 feet away from me.
Look, in all seriousness, I get what you're saying about the whole statistics and girls playing games, but now you're making this very gross assumption that the only reason why you'd have female characters in the games is because of women. Female characters in the games would be benefit to everybody. So I don't think that they said, oh, let's cut it out because women don't play Assassin's Creed. What are you talking about? No, they probably just did it, once again, one, because of technological reasons. Two, not because they wanted to alienate their female audience, but probably just because of them reason, right? I'm sure they're sensitive to that very fact. So I guess
we've got to close this up soon.
No, I mean, I know, Gabe, don't worry, I know we've gone over time. I just want to finish a point, unlike you interrupted me last time with the COD thing. Trust me, I remember that. But look, you're right, Victoria. Sorry. I get what you're saying. It's a sensitive thing. The way they handled it was completely cowardly. I just feel that the slippery slope way people have been looking at it, that, you know, they assume too much about Ubisoft suddenly going down this dark path. And I just feel that that's not fair to them. I feel like if people had been more inquisitive and ask them, well, why would you say that? And as I said, bad PR, do it again. They said something that didn't go down well. And as a company, you have to fix that by doing good PR, right? And I understand
the
time of...
I don't think the lack of women in Ubisoft's games is an indication of them going down a dark path. I think Uplay is.
How degenerate. Oh, very...
I'm with Gabe.
I mean, no, but look, I get what you're saying, Victoria. I understand why you felt that way, right? And I'm not saying you're one of the people who overreacted necessarily. I just feel that as a whole, people really freaked out over something that wasn't an attempt to lock out women from games or anything, or to lock out their player base. I just feel people took it
gamers
game. They shouldn't have. That's ironically part of it, but not necessarily. girls in
I'm
games.
I'm just glad but... I got people talking about things like that because, you know, further discussion never really hurts anything.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Keep people more aware of, you know,
I mean, it's...
That's all I got to say.
I mean, let's put it this, let me ask you this. If you were in their position, right?
Oh god.
And you had to make that decision to not put the women in the game in the single player integrated co-op.
You're going on another tangent. Will we resolve the social justice issues in video games? Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z.
It's not a tangent. I just asked her a question.
I'm sorry. It's just
it's a simple question.
We got to start closing up shop, Patrick.
Yeah, maybe save that one for next time. We're way off topic.
It's not going to happen next time.
Are women people?
Nobody's going to remember.
There's not going to be a next time.
No, I'm saying it's not going to matter next time is what I'm saying. Because if we answer this now, then we can forget about it. If we leave it till later, there won't be a later.
I don't find answers to any of these questions.
It's just a simple question, Gabe. I just asked her a question. I was going to start a whole topic.
Where do we come from?
What is the meaning of life?
Nobody here. Thanks, guys. Whatever.
You can ask the question. I'm sorry.
I get it. I'm.
No, don't leave. Don't leave. Please ask the question. Feel free.
No, I wasn't gonna leave. No, look, I get it. I get how I look. I'm the person talking too much, being very angry about stuff that doesn't matter. Holding back the stream, so no, don't worry.
No, Patrick.
I'm gonna put myself in my place and shut up, and I say we finish the stream, so whatever.
No. You look great. Sitting in a park, it looks like.
And I know you're talking about my picture.
Yeah, you have a nice hat and a gold necklace.
One second, I'll load up Facebook.
Look, I mean, just to level with you, and we can end the stream, I'm just the kind of person who feels that if things are resolved in a simple and logical way, then there's no need for anybody to look bad, I guess. I understand how I look right now.
You look fine. You look fine. Keep it up.
Gabe, I'm being serious.
I'm being serious as well.
No, I just mean literally, because like with the pod discussion not too long ago, that actually really annoyed me, but I wasn't going to say anything because I was like, you know, I've talked enough. But with this Ubisoft thing, it was the same thing where it's like, okay.
On my honor, I must speak on this.
No, it's not even that. It's just like I'm happy with people having their opinions, but when it comes to stuff that is beyond just one person's opinion, like i.e. the deal with why Ubisoft did that, I feel like it would be wrong for me to pretend like it doesn't bother me. Mm. I mean, that's fair.
On my part, I need to look at, I need to like review basically what happened a little bit more before I can say anything else. Cause I, you know, what this discussion has brought out is like, I didn't really, I only heard the basics of this, controversy. So I will have to get back to you on that.
Yeah. Same here, actually.
Well, and that's fine. And to be honest, change anyone's opinion. I'm not here to tell anybody what to think. I just want people to know all the facts before they start saying stuff and spreading more misinformation, because that's what hurts people more than anything.
Yeah. I think I'm going to end this podcast with a song. Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?